I was praying about the message for today, and the Lord said, essentially He said, teach them about faith. And you know, when you talk about teaching people about faith, you know, when you're part of faith churches, however you want to describe that, it's, I've heard all the faith I need to hear. Well, okay, hearing it's one thing, but living by it is something else. And as the Lord was sharing this with me, He began showing things to me about living by faith, and it was kind of a real eye-opener for me. He had me go back, and the things that He shared with me, you know, like the lessons from the upper room and so forth, the things He's given me over time, I went back and He began to show me things to, you know, to pull out of all of that to present today and to pass along to you. Well, I think for some people this may be a genuine eye-opener when it comes to faith. To kind of sum this up, I guess I could say it like this. All the people who say they're living by faith, especially those that, word and faith, or I believe, the faith message, I mean, whatever. It's not happening the way people think. And I hope you really get this by the time we're finished. Open first to Hebrews chapter 11. This was the verse that He wanted me to open with. And if you have a marker, put it in Hebrews 11, because eventually we'll come back here. Hebrews chapter 11. And most people would think, okay, yeah, I know, verse 1. Now faith is something. No, that's not the verse He took me to. In Hebrews 11, He took me to verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Speaking of God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I guess the word I want you to focus on here in verse 6, or the word of emphasis, is maybe the way the Lord would have me put it, is the word impossible. You see this? That word's in there for a reason. And the message God's trying to get across to us is, without faith, it is impossible to please me. Therefore, if I am not living by faith, then I am not pleasing Him. Say, well, Brother Martin, I'm living by faith. Well, you may think that now. By the time we're done, you may want to retract those words. Please let this sink in. If we are not living by faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, that doesn't mean He doesn't love you, all right? We're not talking about that. We're talking about living a life that is pleasing in His sight. Well, then, that being true, it brings up the question about, what is faith then? Well, listen to what He said. Real faith starts, and it's like, just imagine you and the Holy Spirit are sitting down at your kitchen table, having some coffee, and He's just sharing with you. Real faith starts with believing what God has said in His Word about faith, how it comes, how it is developed, how you use it, and its true purpose for the life of a believer. If you don't start here, how can you truly think you are living by faith? So, in other words, God says, look, without faith it's impossible to please me. Now, you can try your best, and I'll, appreciate your efforts, but it's impossible to please me. Without faith, it is impossible to please me. Okay, well, God, I want to please you. So what do I do? He says, well, you need faith. All right, I need faith. Okay. Okay, I got it. I got faith. It doesn't work that way. The only way that we can come to this place of having the faith he's talking about here in Hebrews 11:6 is to find out what he has said about faith. If I don't allow him to define for me how faith comes, how it's developed, how it's used, how I'm supposed to live by it, if I don't let him define that for me, then you know what I'm doing? I'm defining faith by my own standards, and I think I'm pleasing God. And as he was going through all of this, he began to show me how that so many people believe they're living by faith, and they tell God they're living by faith. They tell everybody else they're living by faith, but from his perspective, they're not living by faith. Because the faith we're to live by has to be defined by him according to his word. Well, there are three places. He told me to find some things relative to faith. Well, there are three verses here I want to pass on to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And these are the three kind of where we'll, you know, continue in looking at this. But again, remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Look, let me just share this with you. Believing that God exists and believing that his word is true is not living by faith. You say, well, of course it is. Every faith preacher says so. The Bible says that the devils believe there is one God. But they're not trembling. I mean, they're trembling. They're not trembling as far as, oh, I got to get faith to trust God. They're trembling because they know there's one God and they're going to stand in judgment. They can't topple him. So just believing that God exists is not living by faith. That's just acknowledging God exists. And believing, yes, the Word of God is true. Well, saying that is not living by faith. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." That is a statement, but it's also an instruction. It's a declaration, but it's an instruction. God is saying, if you're going to please me, you have to walk by faith and not by sight. Well, what does it mean to walk by sight? Walk by sight means to make your life decisions based upon the circumstances in this world. You say, well, come on, you got to use wisdom here, Brother Martin. All right. If I use that kind of wisdom and common sense you're talking about, no. If Jesus had used that kind of wisdom and common sense you're talking about, he would never have stepped out on the water to get from point A to point B. He did not base his life decisions on what he saw in the natural. He based his life decisions on who he was in God and what God had said in his word, what he knew of the Father and so forth. If we're going to be pleasing before God, we have to walk by faith, not by sight. We cannot let our life be governed by the things of this world. Jesus was not governed by the things of this world. Now, he lived in the world, and we understand about the laws of physics, but when the time was necessary, get this, even the natural laws of physics were superseded. Well, the natural laws of physics have to be superseded in order for the maimed to be made whole. Maimed limbs require more than a Band-Aid. The natural laws of physics can't fix a maimed anything. He walked on water, superseded the natural laws of physics. He spoke to a tree and it died. He spoke to the wind and the waves and they calmed down. He superseded the natural laws of physics. When the time comes that you need to do that, that's when faith will produce those natural laws have been exceeded results. That's how Jesus lived. We walk by faith, not by sight. The disciples were walking by sight. Don't you care? The boat's filling with water. We're going to drown. And Jesus said, gee whiz, guys, where's your faith? Peace be still. He wasn't governed by those things we see. And we like to talk about how that we're not governed by the things we see. Well, the problem is, all too often we are. Well, you know, it's raining pretty hard. We can't go to church today. Don't want to get wet. Might get sick. You're making a life decision based upon natural circumstances. Very simple. Look in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. in verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I've shared this in the past. In fact, what's interesting is that this message kind of dovetails with, I think, this past Sunday night's message, or maybe it was Wednesday night, I don't recall. But the this whole thing here, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, you need to understand, or you need to get a hold of this. I don't care how many horrible circumstances you've been through. Horrible circumstances do not cause faith to come. It will never happen, ever. Well, yes, but you don't understand. If you understood, you would understand, but you don't understand. Therefore, you don't understand, Brother Martin. Why, I was in a terrible car wreck, laid up for months in the hospital, and out of that I learned to trust God more. No, you didn't. You made a decision to trust God more because you couldn't do anything else but lay there. And if lousy circumstances cause faith to come, then you'd be begging for lousy circumstances. God, please bring disaster in my life so I can have more faith. That doesn't make any sense at all. We don't need more disaster. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. So then, if there's no Word, there's no faith. For you, for me, for anybody. But that's what it says. Look in Jude. There's only one chapter in Jude. So, Jude chapter 1, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So what's it say? Well, you pray in tongues, you build yourself up on your most holy faith. All right, so what are we seeing so far? Here's what God has said. God has said, look, get it settled in your heart. Without faith, it is impossible for you to please me. Now, I will love you, and I'll appreciate everything that you do for me, but when it comes to living the pleasing life that you're supposed to live, without faith, you can't do it. Okay, well, God, help me understand this. Well, number one, you have to walk by faith, not by sight. Every moment of your life, walk by faith, not by sight. Number two, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by my word. That's it. Now, there's no other way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by my word. Number three, when you pray in tongues, you build yourself up on your most holy faith. So there we have the sum total of faith teaching. People say, trust God. You have to live by faith by trusting God. The problem is, if you don't know how to trust God, how can you live in faith? You say, well, I don't know how to trust God. Just trust Him. No, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is a revelation on how to trust God. The Word of God explains to us how to trust Him. So if faith, if you're not into the Word, faith isn't coming. Therefore, you really don't understand how to trust God. You can trust Him to a certain point, but beyond that, how are you going to do that? See, case in point, the whole thing of healing. A lot of people simply do not trust God for healing because they do not believe that healing is for today. Why don't they believe that? Because they haven't gotten into enough of the Word of God that says, by His stripes you were healed. God sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. I mean, over and over. That's the Word of God. And God says, without faith it's impossible to please me. And here is my revelation to you about faith. Faith is not a part-time occupation. Faith is a lifestyle. So you don't live by faith today and then tomorrow, change the rules. Faith is not a part-time occupation. Faith is a lifestyle. Walk by faith, not by sight. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in tongues. Knowing these things from God's Word, think again to what the Holy Spirit said. Real faith starts with believing what God has said in His Word about faith, how it comes, how it is developed, how you use it, and its true purpose for the life of a believer. If you don't start here, how can you truly think you are living by faith? Therefore, if 2 Corinthians 5:7, Romans 10:17, and Jude 1:20 are not the foundation for my life when it comes to faith, then guess what, guys? I'm not living by faith the way I say. Now, see, I know that a lot of people in the body of Christ could get very upset with what I'm getting ready to say. If you are not praying in tongues, you are not building yourself up on your most holy faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Well, that's right, praise the Lord, I need to get more into the Word. Well, you build yourself up on your most holy faith by praying in tongues. Well, now, Brother Martin, let's not get radical. No, we don't believe in tongues. Tongues aren't for today. Well, okay. I mean, you're born again. You're going to heaven. Thank God for that. But remember, if God says, without faith, it's impossible for you to please me, then that means God has to be the one to give us the definition of what faith is. Well, in His Word, He's talking about living by faith and not by sight. He's saying faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Then He turns right around and says, you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in tongues. So therefore, if, again, if I'm a part-time faith person, then I'm not pleasing to Him. I'm supposed to live by faith daily, not by sight. If I'm not getting into the Word, faith's not coming. And if I'm not praying in tongues, I'm not building myself up on my most holy faith. That's just how it is. And that takes us back again to what the Holy Spirit said. Real faith starts by believing what God has said about faith. So I can have 5011 preachers stand up and they can talk all about faith, all about faith, all about faith. But if they never teach about praying in tongues, then they are leaving out a vital part of this formula, because God Himself, the one who says, I have to live by faith, He says, God says, not a preacher, God. God has said, you want to be pleasing unto me, you've got to live by faith. And part of living by faith is praying in tongues to build yourself up on the faith that will cause you to be pleasing unto me. So, you know, you can take it or leave it, believe it, deny it, like it or not like it, get happy, get mad, whatever. But God has said, this is how it works. This is how it is. Now look over in, I'll have you turn there in just a moment. Listen to he went on after, you know, those three, 2 Corinthians 5:10, Romans 10:17, Jude 1:20. He said, accepting these instructions is a true act of faith. If your faith could be developed and operate any other way, don't you think I would have said so in my word? Well, that makes sense. I mean, I can't find anything in here that says, and when thy house burneth down, great faith shall come. When thy dog chews thy slippers, thou hast faith. When a motorcycle gang moveth next dooreth to thee, none of this is in there. None of it. And so if there were any other way, it would be in here. So, see, already we have identified how a lot of people aren't living by faith because they don't want to hear about the tongues thing. They think they can get to this place without praying in tongues. And God is saying, no, you can't. If you want to be pleasing unto me, if you want to have the fullness of the God-pleasing life that you can have, you've got to incorporate this other. And see, man, there are people out there, Christians, I mean, they'll just get all upset and they'll want to defend and they want to pleasantly argue. You know, not get into a spitting, shouting, you know, fire out of the eyes kind of a thing. Just pleasantly argue that you're telling me that I'm not the Christian I ought to be if I don't pray in tongues. Look, born again is born again, all right? You're either washed in the blood or you're not. But when it comes to what God is saying here about faith, look, don't argue with me. You need to drop to your knees and find out why God put that in there. I'm just showing you what God said. Your issue's not with me here, all right? I'm reading to you from Scripture. So, you know, at this point, it's between you and the Lord. And if you don't do it, it's not going to happen. And remember, it's not my faith. It's your faith. It's not me you answer to, it's Him. So here it is. So accepting these instructions is a true act of faith. If your faith could be developed and operate any other way, don't you think I would have said so in my word? Simply doing something is not an act of faith. But doing what I have said is an act of faith, regardless of what you do or do not understand. My word and my will are not based on what you understand. They are based on what works. So where he says here, simply doing something is not an act of faith? And how many times have we done that? Well, you know, I'm just going to trust God and step out and do this. And you know, we think we're living by faith. And he says right here, simply doing something is not an act of faith. And, you know, it's almost like he's giving me this revelation of how so many Christians have lived, I'll say deceived, not necessarily from sermons, but in part by many of the sermons. We're told act in faith, just step out and act in faith, just step out and act. But if you don't have an instruction from God to do something, you're stepping out in dumb. You're not stepping out in faith. You're stepping out on what you hope God will do because you've stepped out. You're hoping He comes through for you. Well, why should He help you when He didn't tell you to do it? Whatever it is. Listen again. Simply doing something is not an act of faith. But doing what I have said is an act of faith, regardless of what you do or do not understand. Look, I may not understand the whole concept of why praying in tongues works, but God says to do it, and I'll build myself up on my most holy faith. So therefore, I can sit and pray in tongues, and the whole time in my mind thinking, I have no idea, I have no clue, I don't know why, I don't understand. But God said do it, so I am doing it. And that's kind of where I was years ago. You know, I'd heard teaching about praying in tongues, and I thought, well, you know, I don't fully understand the mechanism of the whole deal here, but I can't lose, so I might as well start doing it and see what happens. Well, shazam, it works. So, he says, my word and my will are not based on what you understand. They are based on what works. So, if he says, my word comes, you know, or faith comes by hearing my word and praying in tongues, build yourself up on faith and all that. I mean, he said that because it works. It works. And you can't implement something else in addition to the word of God because it won't work. I think it's over in Proverbs. It says something about don't add to the word of God lest you be found a liar and look like a fool. That's not the exact phrase, the way the word verse is phrased. But I can't put anything else in here and say, well, you know, I know what that says there in Jude. However, I personally believe. Well, personally believe isn't going to change it. It would be better if you personally believed what God said. Now look back over in Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, when he took me over here in Hebrews 11, this time he took me all the way back to verse 1. We're not going to read the entire 11th chapter of Hebrews. You can do that later on. But we will begin reading here in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, faith is the substance. That word substance, it comes from a Greek word that means basis, foundation, subsistence, existence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, the irrefutable truth of things not seen. So that tells you right there, this whole issue of faith is not based upon anything in the natural. You can't look at the pew and say that has anything to do with faith. Faith has everything to do with what you don't see. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But you don't understand how faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Faith doesn't come by hearing and hearing any other book. Unless that book contains the Word of God. He says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. By what? By faith. A good report. Now this phrase, good report, obtained a good report, it comes from a Greek word, martyreo, which means a good witness or a good testimony. In other words, they obtained, or let me say it like this, they left a legacy. That's kind of a different way to say it. But then in verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now I want to reword this to try to help with clarity. See at the beginning of the verse it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. Okay, that's not talking about my faith. Through faith, I understand. Through faith, Jim Martin understands. Let me rephrase this to help you see it clearly. We understand that it was through faith that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. See this? It's not talking about the faith I've developed. It's talking about we understand that it was through faith the elders obtained a good report, and that their worlds were framed by the Word of God. This word worlds, again, it does not mean planets. It means eon or ages or periods of time. So then what it's telling me is that through faith, David changed the world in which he lived. Through faith, Solomon, until he goofed up, changed the world in which he lived. Through faith, Elijah changed the world in which he lived. I mean, did he not? Fire from heaven consumed the prophets and so forth, the prophets of Baal. So through faith, or we understand that it is through faith, time periods were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then to really help us understand more clearly what he's talking about, he starts in verse 4 by giving us all of these examples of people who lived by faith or who acted in faith. In verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated. Verse 7, by faith Noah, he was warned of the flood and so forth. And verse 8, by faith Abraham. Verse 9, by faith, speaking again of Abraham. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah. And verse 17, by faith Abraham. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed. Verse 21, by faith Jacob. Verse 22, by faith Joseph. Verse 23, by faith Moses. Verse 24, by faith Moses. Verse 25, by faith, again speaking of Moses. Verse 28, through faith, again speaking of Moses. Verse 29, by faith Moses and the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell. Verse 31, by faith speaks of the harlot Rahab and the good thing that happened there with her. Verse 33, talking about, you know, the people in verse 32, Gideon, Barak and Samson and so forth, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions and so forth. And so he continues talking here about all these people and what they did by faith. Then you jump down to verse 39. And it says, and all these who? All the people named and unnamed in verse 11, or chapter 11. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Now, where he says, having obtained a good report, that's the same Greek word, martyreo, which was in verse 2. By faith, the elders obtained a good report, or a good, they left a legacy, or they left a great testimony. So all of these people in chapter 11, they left a legacy through faith. However, they still didn't receive the promise. You say, what promise? We'll see this in a moment. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. In other words, what he's saying is that when God, let me just summarize it without going too far off on a tangent. God was saying that without us, he wasn't saying there's a separate salvation for the people in chapter 11 and for us. He's saying it's all the one and same salvation. But that salvation did not come about until after Jesus had come into the earth. So in essence, when he is saying there about, through faith, they did all these things, left a good testimony, but they still didn't receive the promise. The promise of what? Simply put, salvation. Salvation wasn't available until Jesus Christ came along. But notice what he says here. He goes through all of these things in chapter 11 about all these people and the great, incredible things they did in pleasing God by just taking him at his word and doing what they could. And God says, however, verse 40, I provided some better thing for you. Now let's just stop for a moment and think about this. It gives this list of all these accomplishments these people were able to see take place in their life because of faith. Look what Abraham did. You know, by faith, the deadness of his body and the deadness of Sarah's body, but still, you know, they trusted God. And, Moses, he trusted God. And look what happened. Israel got delivered from Egypt. David, look what he did. Daniel, the lion's den, and all, and on and on and on. And how many times have we read about those people in the Old Testament and we think, my gosh, look what these people did. Boy, I sure wish I could do those things. You with me? Boy, I sure wish that I could be like Moses, or I could be like Elisha or Elijah, or I could be like this person, or be like, man, look what those people did. And God says, whoa, hold on here, hold on. Those things were great. But no matter what they did, and no matter their accomplishments, they still didn't receive the promise. And not only that, I want to emphasize something to you. I have something better for you. I have something better for you. So I look back at all those people and all those things they did by faith. And let me just interject this. When I hear sermons that keep pointing me back to Abraham and Moses and David and all the Old Testament people, and I'm told I need to live like that, that is very misleading. Here's why. Yes, God even says so right here in His Word. They were examples. But then He turns right around and He says, but there's something better for you. So if you don't tell me what the something better is and you leave me out there with Moses and Abraham and Elijah and all the rest of them, then you haven't taken me into the place of the better thing. I want the better thing. Okay, those guys did great. But if I get a hold of the better thing, that means I can do more than what they did. And what they did was incredible. Well, look here. He says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so does easily beset us, and run with patience the race set before us. Now look at the beginning of verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I can remember years and years ago when I heard this preached and taught, and it was presented as though they're like these bleachers up in heaven, and that all the saints that have gone before us are up in these bleachers, and that God has pulled back the curtains of eternity, and that this great arena filled with this incredible cloud of witnesses is up there watching us and cheering us on. Yes! Go do this! Just serve Jesus! You can do it! Come on! Ooh, 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 ooh. And I used to believe that all these people were up in heaven watching us. And I got to thinking about it. And after a while, I started thinking, I'm not so sure I like this. I don't know if I like the idea of all these people up in heaven watching everything I do. There are some things kind of personal, you know. I don't want to, when I take showers, I don't want an audience. Well, then, brother, that's when God closes the curtains. Oh, give. That is not, now listen to me. That is not what that is talking about. Now, I know this is going to mess up a lot of sermons a bunch of people have heard, and it's going to mess up, get a, you know, bunch of preachers here, this one. People in heaven aren't watching us. That is not what this means. There is not a grandstand in heaven. There aren't bleachers in heaven. There's not an arena in heaven. And God has not pulled back the curtains of time so that the people in heaven can watch us and encourage us. What? I don't need their encouragement. The Holy Spirit's supposed to be my helper. I don't only need, I just need Him. I don't need, you know, heaven's cheerleaders. You know, go Jim, go. Go Jim, go. I don't need that. And that's not what is happening. Here's what He's saying. We are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The cloud of witnesses, that this phrase witnesses, it's the word martus, which means testimonies, legacies. The testimonies, the legacies, the witnesses that we have are the chapter 11 people. That, in other words, He's saying these people, one by one, over the ages, have taken the witness stand and given us a testimony of what it means to trust God. And so therefore, we are compassed about. You know, look at all these people in chapter 11. We are compassed about with all of these testimonies of the people who have gone before us, who lived by faith and accomplished great things for God. However, we have the better thing. So, it's like He's saying, They left a legacy of what it was like to have success in God without the better thing. But you have the better thing. Okay, well, praise God. What is the better thing? Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. None of the people in chapter 11 could do verse 2. They could not look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. That word author means originator, and the word finisher means a completer or perfecter. Those chapter 11 people didn't have that. They had God tell them something to do, and God promised them, and they acted on what He said. But they did not have verse 2. They did not have Jesus to look unto. They did not have Jesus as the author of their faith. And this is going to be more clear in just a moment. Now listen to what the Holy Spirit said. Hebrews 11 reveals what people did without faith that is birthed out of a born-again spirit. Hebrews 12 reveals the level of faith at which we are to live. What faith? Verse 2. Jesus' faith. The author and the finisher of our faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. What kind of faith? Hebrews 12, verse 2, faith. Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12 reveals the level of faith at which we are to live. Remember, all of the people in Hebrews 11 were lost. They were not born again. This means anyone who trusts God at that level can accomplish what they accomplished. In other words, look, if those lost people could trust God at that level and accomplish things, well, anybody with a lost sin nature can trust God and accomplish things. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Hebrews chapter 11 is full of people who weren't born again. Not one of them were born again. Not one. And look what they did for God. We now have the better thing, Jesus. It's been ratcheted up a few levels here. And this is what he's trying to get across to us. But you as Christians are called to a higher standard. Let me read this again. This means anyone who trusts God at that level, the Hebrews 11 level, can accomplish what they accomplished. But you as Christians are called to a higher standard. And as soon as he said that, he took me over to Galatians chapter 2, and I want you to see it. Now remember what we just read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Jesus, the author and the finisher, the originator and the perfecter and completer of our faith. Now look here in Galatians chapter 2. And I want to make sure you get there. I want you to see this. In Galatians 2 verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. If you have a Bible that says, I live by faith in the Son of God, if I were you, I would, well, in the flesh, I'd burn that Bible. That's not what it's saying. Listen, hey, listen. If you've got a Bible that says faith in the Son of God, your Bible is wrong and the translators missed it and they're feeding you wrong doctrine. You hear me? You say, well, how do you figure that? Jesus is the author, the originator of our faith. I am crucified with Christ. Hebrews 12:2 talks about He endured the cross. The joy that's set before him, he endured the cross. Now I am crucified with Christ. And because I'm crucified with him, my dead man, or my old sin nature man is dead and gone. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I've been raised to newness of life. How have I been raised to newness of life? By putting my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Because I put my faith in him as Lord and Savior, he released into me his life. I was raised from spiritual death. And now that I have Christ, his life living in me, I now in this flesh am not living Hebrews 11 faith, but I have the potential to live by the faith of the Son of God. Not just in him, but of him, his faith. Because that's the only place that faith can originate. That's why he is the author of my faith. And can you see the difference in this? That's why every Bible that says faith in the Son of God, you need to throw it away. Well, that's a harsh thing to say. Well, it's wrong. I mean, maybe you ought to just seal it shut and bronze it. Hang it as a memorial to unbelief. A statue, you know, to error. Or bury it and put a headstone over it. Here lies false doctrine. All it takes, one word, two letters. That's all it takes. Exchange the of for the word in, and it changes the entire message. The entire message. Because what it's telling you is, faith in is what you do. Faith of is what he has given. You see how serious this is? And people still want to fuss with me about their Bibles.
Well, I like the other Bible. It's easier to understand.
Well, the Holy Ghost understands King James. I bet he could help you. So here I see, this is the higher standard. The faith of the Son of God. Now listen. He said, living at this level enables you to do what Jesus said in John 14:12. Well, I don't remember what John 14:12 says. Well, then praise God, we'll just turn over there and read it. John 14:12. I want you to see this with your own eyes, because we never believed it when I was growing up. John 14:12. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And I've taught on this verse what the greater works are and so forth. Not going to get into that right now. See, when you are living the Hebrews 11:6, Hebrews 12:2, Galatians 2:20 faith, when that's how you're living, then when you read John 14:12, the works that I do, you shall do also, that's how you live. Even if you're not yet seeing those results, that's still how you live. But if somebody stands up and says, that's not for us, you had better watch out. Because that person is not living Galatians 2:20 faith. That person is not living Hebrews 11:6 and Hebrews 12:2. Because when I'm living by the faith of the Son of God, that's why I can do the works he did. Is this sinking in? Well, look in Romans chapter 4. This is the next place where he took me. Romans chapter 4. See, this whole thing of living by faith, it's not just a matter of saying, yes, I believe. It's a matter of living what God has said. In Romans chapter 4, he took me to one specific verse and then, you know, kind of led me to back up for continuity. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not, now look at this, and being not weak in faith, He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Notice what it says in verse 19, being not weak in faith. That should jump out to you big time. Here's why. Number one, he didn't have the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He didn't have that. What else didn't he have? He wasn't born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. He wasn't born again, so he didn't have the faith of Jesus. And he wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost, so he couldn't pray in tongues to be built up on his most holy faith. He didn't have any of this. All he had was the promise of God. That's it. That's all he had. And God says he was not weak in faith. Weak in what faith? Faith that he just believed what God said. Now, here's what the Holy Spirit said. And this, I know this is going to rattle some theological chains. There is a faith that even a lost person can have that is powerfully strong concerning the things of God. It's, right here it is. In Hebrews 11, right there it is. This is a soul-based faith because a lost person cannot operate out of spiritual life. However, as a Christian, you can operate with a faith that is generated by spiritual life. But unless you do that which develops your born-again spirit so that an increasingly strong spirit is governing your faith, you will keep living by soul faith. It is living by soul faith which leads so many Christians to question the faith possibilities available to believers. That right there sums up why it is we think we're living by faith so often, and we're not. We're living by a soul faith. We're not living by a faith that is governed by a strong spirit, a mature spirit. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You build yourself up on your most holy faith praying in tongues. If these things aren't a part of our life, faith isn't there like we think it's there. You can't live by what you don't have. But what we do then, because we're told we're supposed to act this way and speak that way and do these things here and step out like this over here, because, you know, that's living by faith. That's what we do. We follow, you know, that banana. And we just like robots, we do a bunch of things, and we think we're living by faith because that's what the preacher said, and they showed a scripture about it. And so we think we're living by faith, when in reality, we're not. Not the kind of faith that God's talking about for us as believers. And so, over the years, and boy, as he's showing this to me, it's like, you know, right between my eyes. How many times in my life have I said, I'm trusting God. Yes, step out and do this thing over here, because I'm trusting God, mighty man of God I am. When in reality, I wasn't trusting God. I was trusting me. I mean, I was trusting that God would help me. And I was doing what I heard so many preachers talk about, you know, act in faith. Okay, I can act in faith. The problem is, if you don't have the faith, you can't act on it. You see what I'm saying? If I don't have a spirit that's strong enough to support what I'm doing as far as faith is concerned, why should I be surprised when I don't get results? When nothing's happening? Well, I prayed for them, nothing happened, so I don't know what the problem is. Well, I'd say there's a faith issue somewhere. Look in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Now what's happened is, you know, Peter, James, and John went with Jesus, Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Moses and Elijah. And they came down the mountain. And when they did, the other 9 apostles were ministering to this the son of this man. And we'll pick the story up in verse 14. When they, Jesus, Peter, James, and John, were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought unto thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief," or said differently, "because of your lack of faith. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you." Nothing shall be impossible to you. Do you see that? Nothing shall be impossible to you. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, nothing would be impossible, including pleasing God. "Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." Now, I'm not going to, you know, go into all of the prayer and fasting and so forth. The point I want to make is, he said, because of your unbelief, or because of your lack of faith. Why couldn't we do this? Because you don't have faith, or because of your unbelief. Now look over, with that in mind, he took me over to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 26. "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Now what's happened is, over the years, this has been preached so much that, well, if you have faith, then you better act on it. And this is where we make the mistakes, the soul faith thing that I was sharing here just a moment ago. And again, as God is ministering this to me and showing this to me, I'm seeing this like a panorama played out before me. We hear all these messages about what we're supposed to do, and if we really trusted God, here's what we would do. And so we go jumping out there, you know, acting in faith, and we have disaster and calamity and failure and all these kinds of things. And we sit back and think, but I don't understand. The preacher said, if I trusted God, to step out in faith, and I did. But what the preacher failed to instruct me about is that I have to act beyond soul faith, and I have to act in Galatians 2:20 faith, the faith of Jesus. And I have to develop my spirit to the point to where that faith is working. Now listen to this. He said, "Know this, every Christian is operating at 100% of their level of faith." Well, think about it. We are operating at 100%. You can't operate beyond what you have. "Every Christian is operating at 100% of their level of faith. If you are not getting the faith results you believe you should be getting, it is because you do not yet have the faith to get those results." See, those fellows back over there, when they were ministering to that man's son, they truly thought they could do it. They thought they could cast that devil out, get that kid healed. They thought they could. And then, when they met with defeat, they asked Jesus, "What's going on here? I mean, hey, we're the apostles, remember? You spent a lot in prayer. You picked us. We didn't pick you. You picked us. And God told you to pick us on top of that. We're the mighty apostles. We should have been able to do this. Jesus, what's the problem?" In other words, the problem is not with us. We're the mighty men of faith. We are with you every day, Jesus. Don't you know this? Have you forgotten? Look, it's me, Matthew. It's me, Thomas. We're with you every day. And Jesus says, "Yep, you're the hand-picked apostles, inspired of God, told me to choose you after I spent all night in prayer. You're with me every day. However, fellas, the reason you couldn't do that is because you don't have enough faith to get this done." What a shock. Well, glory to God, I'm just glad I'm not like that. And then when people come to me and say, "You know, I prayed for them, they didn't get healed." I don't know why they didn't get healed. Well, if Jesus had been here and prayed for them, would they have gotten healed? Oh, yeah. And you prayed for them and they didn't get healed. Oh, no. Well, you know what? You don't have the faith necessary to get them healed. I beg to differ with you, Brother Martin. I go to church all the time, giving the offerings. I read my Bible. I'm here. What do you mean? I believe God. I believe the Bible says, by His stripes you were healed. That's right. That's what the Bible says. But what's in your heart? What's happening in your heart? Guys, are you starting to see how that, generally speaking, we've not been living by faith the way we think we've been living by this soul faith and doing what somebody's told us to do, but we've not been actively engaged in developing our spirits so that our faith could become Galatians 2:20, faith of Jesus. Living that way every single day. He said, if you're not getting the faith results you believe you should be getting, it is because you do not yet have the faith to get those results. Performing a work in the natural, or stepping out in faith, as many call it, does not cause faith to come. It does not develop your faith, and it does not cause faith to work. And that's where so many people have made the mistake. They think because they've convinced themselves mentally, and as far as they're concerned, in their spirit, they've convinced themselves as well, I'm stepping out in faith, I'm acting in faith, then they're expecting the faith results. But it's like he says right here, performing a work or stepping out in faith does not cause faith to come. It doesn't cause it to come. It does not develop your faith, and it does not cause faith to work. Yes, but you just read, faith without works is dead. We'll listen to the rest of this. On the other hand, faith that is developed will always produce works because such faith is operating from within my kingdom where nothing is impossible with God. So when I'm operating from that kind of faith, then what happens is, I'm operating from a kingdom perspective that understands if I need to walk on the water, I can walk on the water. You think Jesus, when he came down from that mountain and he had to get, you know, across that lake to the other side, you think he walked up to the water and said, oh, I don't know if this is going to work. Sure wish I had a boat, but there ain't no boat to be seen. I got to get to the other side. Oh, Father, please send a boat right now. In my name, I claim a boat. Hallelujah. I claim a boat for the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh. No. Man, he just took off. He just started walking on the water. When you have a Galatians 2:20 way of thinking, approach, that's going to happen. You say, well, yeah, that makes sense. I can do that too. And then everybody else looks at you like you're some kind of a nutcase. You know why they look at you like you're a nutcase? It's because they don't have the faith to believe that kind of a thing can be done. Well, quite honestly, I'm not so sure I do yet.
I'd like to think I do, hallelujah.
But I'm not so sure I'm at that point yet. But it's like in my head, I know it can be done. But when you have that Jesus faith in operation on the inside, there's no hesitancy. You just start walking. You don't start questioning God, how deep is it 30 feet out? You don't look for a life jacket, you know, to be wise. You don't look for an oxygen tank. You don't pray and fast and sow seeds for a boat. It's kind of late for that. When you're operating at that Galatians 2:20 kind of faith, man, you just go. You just do it. You act on the Word of God. What was the Word of God? Son, I need you on the other side. But there aren't any boats. You're going to have to walk. Well, which was quicker, to walk on the water and go straight across or to walk all the way around? I'd say Jesus used some wisdom. I'll be tired by the time I get over there if I have to walk all the way around. You know what? I'm just going to walk on the water. After all, we made it. Hallelujah. Oh, I think with that I'll quit. I'm sensing that I don't have enough time this morning to finish this. There's much more to go, see? There's much more to go. And look, guys, here's what I kind of saw or sensed. I don't know how to say this. A lot of people aren't, it's not like, well, some people won't like all this, but it's like there's some people that are going to be really challenged by this because it is a completely different approach to this whole thing of faith. It's almost like, you know, God's kind of opening the door and saying, you see how you haven't been doing what you think you've been doing? It's because you've not been doing it my way. And it's going to cause, I know, you know, for me, I'm having to reevaluate my own faith walk. You know, I'd say I am, but am I the way he's describing? Am I really? Because if I don't do those things to develop my faith, I don't have the faith I may think I have. So I've got a whole lot of soul faith that I've operated by in life, but it's got to get past that. And man, I'm telling you, there are some more things in here that he has shown me. Boy, some powerful things about living by faith and what it really means to live by faith and our perception and so forth. And we will continue with this tonight. So, and by the way, if you're into titles, you know, this is Lessons from the Upper Room. This is number 21, The Faith God Seeks. You don't want to miss this tonight. Look, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, I don't know, for me, I think I'd like to hear what God has to say about living by faith so I can do it His way. You know, so many Christians have lived by faith according to that old Frank Sinatra song, I Did It My Way. Well, that doesn't work, man. We have to do it God's way. And this is God giving us a revelation of where we've missed it, how to correct it, and where to go from here. Praise God.